13, beginning with verse 31, and we'll read through chapter 14 and verse 3. John 13, beginning with verse 31 through chapter 14, verse 3. Therefore, when he was gone out, speaking of Judas Iscariot, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him." Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thee, for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Let's pray together. Our holy and righteous God, sovereign ruler, God in whose hands our breath is and all our ways, thou art our God. Thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. The one true God. We come before you tonight to worship, because you're worthy to be worshiped. We come, we hope, in fear and in trembling. You said that you dwell with him that is of a broken heart and a contrite heart and trembleth at your word. You have told us, you have written, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Over and over in your word, it says, those who know you fear you. fear. Unite our hearts to fear thy name. In a day, in this modern day, when there's no fear of God before their eyes, the transgression, the psalmist said, the transgression of the wicked saith unto my soul, there's no fear of God in them. The way that men use your name, the way that men pretend to approach you, the way that men pretend to worship you, you said in your word, this, for as much as this people draw near to me with their lips, when their heart is far from me. And the fear, your fear, is taught by the precept of man. But, O Lord, teach us to fear thee. That beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The Holy One of God, how we may approach unto this holy God through Christ. So we come by faith in Christ. We come pleading His blood and His righteousness, foreign things to our generation. Yet to those that know you and fear you, this is our very hope. He is our hope. This is the only way. He is the only way to approach such a one as you. We come in fear. We come to worship. We come bowing down before your throne. And we come to hear from you. We come to be spoken to by you from your word, not to argue, not to question, not to reason, but to be spoken to be taught as little children. Lord, we need you to teach us. If any man, you said, if any man thinketh he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. You have said, if a man, a person thinks there's something when they're nothing, they deceive themselves. So we come as empty vessels to be filled. We come as ignorant men, women, and young people to be taught, to be instructed from your word. So take your word, which is every bit of it is your inspired, infallible word. Take it. That word which is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. The man of God might be truly furnished unto all good works. Take it and operate upon our hearts and minds and lives and change us. Change our minds. Give us the mind of Christ. Change our walk and our ways into thy ways. There's a way that seemeth right unto men, to man, that the end is destruction. But Christ the way, the end is life eternal. So put our feet, order our steps in thy word. May we, by your grace and mercy, search, find the old way, the old path, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Thank you, O Lord, for your word. We esteem it for what it is. We esteem it as life, as bread, the children's bread, as the water which the Holy Spirit uses to sanctify. It's the truth whereby we are sanctified. We esteem your word as indeed it is the word of God. We believe all of it. All the prophets have spoken, the apostles, every word. And so we come to be dealt with from your word, your precepts, your commandments, your statutes. Give us understanding. Give us faith And if we believe, you said, we'd see wondrous things, the glory of God. So, Lord, take your word and apply it to your people. And me, as I draw a bow at a venture, take this word and as a net, throw it out. Oh, Lord, you decide who needs what, and you apply it accordingly. Get glory to yourself. We dare not take any glory. We dare not share thy glory. For thou art a jealous God, you said. To God be all the glory for all that is done here tonight. Get glory to yourself. Glorify your Son. Glorify your word. And instruct, encourage, comfort, admonish, rebuke, correct your people. We pray these same things for your people everywhere that meet together. Your church, in various places, your people, all those who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. We pray for those. We pray not for the world. We pray for those whom you have given to Christ. We pray that you would bless them tonight. Bless those who preach your word tonight. Bless those who hear. Bless your word. And we bless your holy name. Through Christ, through his blood, we come. Through his righteousness, we plead and ask all these things. Amen. All right. John 13. Let me remind you once again who this is written to. He says, beginning in verse 31, when he was gone out, speaking of Judas Iscariot, now, the same John who wrote this wrote 1 John. Turn over there very quickly. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Back there in John 13, it says, when he went out, when he was gone out, then Christ said, little children. And then he speaks to them. Well, the same thing is spoken of here, or in the same way. Look at verse 18. John says, little children, little children. And then in verse 19, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest or revealed that they were not all of us. Not everyone who saith, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who makes a profession. Not all men, not all flesh are the children of God. Men are not, all men are not the children of God. But God's chosen, God's redeemed. They are his children, and that's who he's writing to here. That's who he's speaking to. Back to John 13 now. Need to clarify that. This does not apply to everyone. There are many promises. There are many words of comfort here. They don't apply to everybody. Most preachers would stand up and preach this as if this applies to everyone without exception. That's just not so. Be lying on God and lying to men. There's some who are under the wrath of God, and they're not under the love of God. There's some who the judgment of God is awaiting them, and others, there's no condemnation. Well, God has to decide. God has to decide. I don't know. Some give evidence, but I don't know. All right? I need to say that. If you are a believer, if you are a follower, if you believe what I just said, then you're a believer. Or at least you give evidence, because what I just said is so. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are His disciple, and the things He says to these disciples apply to you. All right? But they do not apply to all men without exception. All right. Now let's look at it. Verse 33, He says, "Little children." Now this is an intimate conversation between Christ and those 11 disciples. "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you." The Lord is telling His disciples that He is leaving. And He's been telling them that for some time now. And they just did not hear Him. They just did not understand. But He's been telling them, foretelling of His crucifixion, His death, and His resurrection for some time now. But John, they just weren't listening. They didn't hear it. But now they hear it. Now they finally hear what He's saying. He's leaving. He's going away. "He who has been their father, their mother, their elder brother, their provider, their nurse, their friend, their companion, their everything, their all, for 3 years." I mean, they totally depended on Him for everything. Little did they know that they had depended on Him for everything before they ever met Him. That all life had depended on Him. Nevertheless, He tells them that He is leaving, and they're troubled. And the reason they're troubled is they thought He was the Messiah. Well, He is. And when they saw, and they had the false notion of the Messiah, just like the Jews, the Pharisees and all did, that the Messiah was going to, that He was going to literally restore the kingdom to that nation Israel over there, and He's going to sit on the throne of David, literally, in Jerusalem, going to sit on a throne there. Well, He's seated on the throne right now, isn't it? The Messiah is seated on the throne. He is the King of Israel. Yes, He is. He's King of the Jews. Those Jews over there in that little country in the Mideast, they don't own Him, but He's King of the Jews. Paul said He's a Jew which is one out, inwardly. Well, they thought He was the Messiah. They saw Him come into Jerusalem to all the adoration of the crowd. Remember that? Just shortly before this, He'd come in riding into Jerusalem. And they heard all the people and they thought, this is it. Now He says He's leaving. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now look at verse 36. So there's the setting. Simon Peter said, "Lord, where are you going? Where are you going? Whither goest thou?" Wait a minute. You can't believe. Where are you going? And again, Christ says this. Now, He says this twice, and we looked at it. We dwelled on it, didn't we? And it's the gospel's right here, Stan, isn't it? In what He says here. Now, they don't catch it. Neither do most men today catch it. Back there in verse 33, He says, "As I said to the Jews, now I say to you, where I go, you can't come." Now look at verse 36. Christ answered him and said this again. Christ repeats Himself.
Whither I go, thou canst not follow me.
Can I go into that again? Do I need to repeat it? He did. That's all a true preacher is anyway, a fellow just repeating what God has already said. And if he doesn't repeat it in such a way that men say, is that all you know? He's not a very good preacher. Peter said, I would always have you in remembrance of these things. Remember that? Paul said to write the same things to me is not grievous. It's safe. Paul said, it's all I know. He's all I know. He's all. When Christ said, where I go, you cannot come. He said that to the Jews. He said that to his disciples. And he said it twice to his disciples. Where I go, you cannot follow me now. What he's saying is, I'm the only one that can approach a holy God. I'm the only man on the top side of the earth that God will let walk right into heaven. That a holy God will look on with favor. The only one. That's what Peter preached at Pentecost. First words out of his mouth. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. God didn't say that about Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and so on and so forth. He never said that about one man. I approve of this man. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but not this man. And God said it from heaven twice. God spoke it once, yea, twice. God repeats himself. And you're going to hear me repeat that Sunday morning in context. God said it from heaven twice, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. God is well pleased with one person that's ever lived, Jesus Christ. He is highly displeased with the whole human race. That's why he's going to destroy it. All right. He accepts the person. God is no respecter of persons. But he does respect one person. You ever thought about that saying? He's no respecter of persons. There's nobody respectable but one. All right, how's God going to have anything to do with us? How? Ephesians 1:6 says, God says these people are accepted in the beloved. Christ, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And all those whom God is pleased with are in him. We are accepted in the beloved. So everyone that's in Christ by faith, God is well pleased with. Not because of us. Not because of anything we've done. Not even because of that faith. Because that's not of yourself. That's the gift of God. Right? That's just so. And what Christ is saying, where I'm going, you cannot come. I'm the great high priest. And I'm going into the Holy of Holies to offer up my own precious blood. That one sacrifice for sins forever. Which only, back, God's been saying it from the beginning when he instituted the sacrifice. You must have blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's death. And there's only one person who could go in and offer up that blood. That was the man appointed by God to be the high priest. One man. Not a woman. A man. A high priest, the scripture said. And he went in the Holy of Holies within the veil, not without blood. He had to have the blood. That blood is what made him accepted. And he went in and poured it out on the mercy seat. And all of that's a picture of Christ. The mercy seat, the blood, the priest. It's all Christ. Christ is all. And God's been saying it from the beginning. One man can go in. One. And that's what the whole book of Hebrews is about. One man.
Hebrews 1:5 says, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the throne. And it's not over in Israel. It's at the right hand of the majesty on high.
And Christ says, where I'm going and what I'm doing, you have no part in it. You can't have any part in it. I'm the only one that can do this. I'm the only one God would accept. And the only way He'll accept you is if I do this for you. Where I'm going, you can't go.
But listen to this. Look at verse 36. He said, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. When he rips the veil. You see, the Old Testament high priest, he went in, you know, he went under the veil. He went under the veil and he came back out. He went under. He kept offering continually the same sacrifices every year, which could not put away sin, but this man. When he went in and offered one sacrifice, it says when Christ was hanging on that cross, you remember what it said about the veil in the temple? Ripped. From where? Top to bottom. Who ripped it? That thing was 6 inches thick. Who ripped it? It was ripped from top. God ripped it. Now, therefore, Hebrews says we can come boldly. Come right on. You shall come. You shall follow me after. Don't you love that? After I go and offer up this sacrifice, I'm the only one that can go in the Holy of Holies. After I clear, put away your sins, make you holy, put away your sins, rent the veil in two, make you God's children, then you can just come right on in. The Holy of Holies. Bold. If I don't go any further, you have heard the gospel. All right, look at verse 37 now. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I follow thee now? Oh, Peter. You know, we always criticize Peter, don't we? But I thought about this a little more carefully. I would like to be a little more like Peter. Peter said, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Did he mean that? Yes, he did. Look over at chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 11. Or chapter 18, verse 10. When they came out, remember in the garden, they came to get Christ. Oh, I wish we could camp here a while. Verse 8 says, when they asked, whom seek ye? Christ said in verse 8, I've told you I am. If you seek me, let them go. Boy, right there's the gospel, isn't it? You got an hour. Can y'all hang around? No, let's go on. But verse 10, Simon Peter got his sword out. I mean, John, there was a band of soldiers, and an army, a regiment, professional soldiers, and Peter's one sword and starts thrashing and cut off the fellow's ear. Remember that? He's going for his head. And the Lord directed the sword, didn't he? The Lord allowed him to do that. Peter meant that, didn't he? Stan, he meant that. I'll lay down my life for you. He just about had to at that time. If Christ hadn't said what he did, you seek me, let him go. Well, I would like to have more of his zeal and enthusiasm and courage, wouldn't you?
Christ didn't blast Peter then. Look at that. It said, then said Jesus unto Peter, verse 11, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He didn't upbraid him, did he, Stan? He didn't upbraid him. And here, back in chapter 13, he doesn't severely upbraid Peter or embarrass him. But he's going to teach Peter an unforgettable lesson in humility. Now stay with me. You with me? Okay. You with me? All right. Because if you're a believer now, you're gonna like this. You're gonna need this. He's gonna teach Peter an unforgettable lesson in humility, one that Peter will never forget, in a way that he'll never forget it. He's gonna humble Peter. That's what we're all going. He's gonna have to bring us down. This is the way up starts down. He that is humbled, God exalts. He that exalted himself, God will abate. A man's got to be humbled first. A man's got to be brought down in the dust first to see himself for what he is first. Or he won't esteem God for who he is, or Christ for who he is, or the gospel for what it is. He won't do it. He's got to be lower, like Brother Bell said, lower than the snake's belly. Like Peter. And Peter's never going to forget this, but you know Christ did this privately. He taught him this privately. And whom the Lord loves, he chastens, but he does it privately. But the person he's doing to it knows it. Right, Peter? All right, look at verse 37. Peter says, why cannot I follow? I will lay down my life for this, thy sake. But Christ is the one that's going to lay down his life here, not Peter. Peter's not going to have the preeminence here. He's not the one going to be laying down his life here. He's going to be running scared. There's one's going to be doing the dying here and the saving here. It's Christ. He's the one that's going to lay down his life for Peter, not vice versa. If Peter had said, listen to this, if Peter had said, Lord, by your grace, according to your will, by your grace, I believe I would lay down my life. But he didn't. He said, I will. You will? You look at how the Lord answers that. Verse 38. Wilt thou? You remember when Christ said, don't say, well, tomorrow I will do this, I will do that. You say, Lord willing. Wilt thou lay down thy life? The Lord's going to teach him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. Wilt thou? I'll tell you what you will do, Peter, or John, or Stan, or Paul, or Erlene, or whoever. I tell you what you will do, but by the grace of God, you will do the unthinkable. You will do anything that any other man or woman has ever done, but by the grace of God. You will only do what your fickle will let you do. But
by the grace of God. You will, he said, you will deny me. Will you lay down your life for me? You're going to act like you never even heard of me. Not once are you going to do this, not twice, but thrice. Three times you're going to deny me. Why did Christ say, why did he have him do it? And he had him do it. He prophesied it. He directed it. Why three times? Why three times? Well, if you deny Christ, you deny the Father. You deny the Father, you deny the Spirit, right? You deny one person, you've denied all three. These three are one. To deny one is to deny all three. And the Lord, look at what the Lord says. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter had just crowed. Now he's going to eat it. Right? How much crow have we eaten? I was telling my daughter that the other day. Somebody was over at the house talking about shooting crow. And I remember my dad and some men used to go out and shoot crow. And I said, well, I haven't shot any, but I've eaten a lot. Hannah said, you have? Is it good? I said, no, it's terrible. Don't ever want to eat it again, but I will. But I will. The Lord is showing Peter how fickle he is, how quickly he can change, didn't he? He said, before the sun comes up in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. I mean before it's morning. You're bold tonight. Before the sun rises, you'll be a monster. You know what he's saying, don't you, Henry? You're nodding your head in agreement. You all be real faithful tonight. What a good Christian he is tonight. In the morning, you'll be a raving lunatic. Is that right, Peter? So this conversation took place to teach Peter and to teach us. And I believe, oh, look at this. This is wonderful. This took place to the praise of the glory of his grace. This is all to the praise of the glory of his grace. Christ's grace, God's grace. There's no chapter division here. That's a bad division. The translators did that. The King James translators. Not supposed to be a chapter division here. Right after the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. The Lord says, Peter, without me you can do nothing. Without me you will do anything. Yea, the worst thing. Peter, you're going to fail miserably. But Peter, I'll never fail. Peter, you'll leave me. I'll never leave thee. Peter, you will deny me. I'll never deny you. You're in me. Your name's written on the palm of my hand. Incidentally, Darnell, I wrote yours on my palm like I do everybody else's. But I believe that somebody else had it there first. Peter, you will be untrue to your word to me. You won't honor your word to me. But Peter, heaven and earth will pass away. Not one word shall fail of all of my promises to you. I made a covenant before the world began, and now I'm going to seal it with my own blood. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll honor my word to you. Your word, nothing. My word, it's salvation. Oh, boy, because I'm God, that's why. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, the thought of Christ leaving, that troubled Peter, but what Christ just told Peter troubled him worse, didn't it? He heard him. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Now, Peter's feeling mighty bad now about this time, the Lord said. But right on the back of that, right on the back of his sin, John, before he sinned, the word of promise and comfort came. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? You believe in God? Believe me. Why? I am God. I am that I am. Look down at, look at chapter 16, quickly. Chapter 16, verse 30. Hurry, I've just got about five more minutes. Chapter 16, verse 30. Now, these three chapters were written for their comfort, our comfort. He's telling us who he is. He's telling them who he is. Now look at verse 30. Now we're sure, after he said all these things, now we're sure that thou knowest all things. Needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe thou camest forth from God. Now we're sure. Now we're sure. Oh my, Christ said, look at verse 31. Are you? You see that, Sherry? Do you? Now I believe. Oh, I believe now. How many times have you said that? After hearing a message, now I believe. Oh, do you? You see, that's not even your salvation, is it? Your faith is not your salvation. Not. It's not you remaining faithful that's your salvation. It's him remaining faithful. Do you believe? You're all going to deny me, he said. Every one of you. Well, what's their hope? Chapter 17. That's their hope. The high priest is going in to offer up prayer. I pray for them. Keep them. Keep them. They can't keep themselves. Keep them by your power. And we are. Peter wrote that later on, didn't he? He said, we're kept by the power of God. Peter said, I thought that I could do that. No, no. We're kept by the power of God unto salvation. Through faith. Well, back at the text, and I'll quit. Our Lord says, and I'm going to deal with this Sunday morning. In my Father's house are many mansions. The word is dwelling place. Dwelling place is the word. Mansions. Dwelling place. Because let me ask you, what need will we have of a palace in heaven? A mansion. Huh? Why would we want to be inside anyway when the sun's shining so bright? Any of you, Deborah, you sit there in that teller's booth, and on a beautiful, glorious day, the sun's shining, you know, and people are out there, they're free. People are out there roaming free. And you're in bondage, aren't you, to a Christar.
Is that where you want to be?
No. You want to be basking out in the sun, don't you? Huh? Why would we want to be inside anyway? When the sun... this is, our Lord said, is dwelling places. Reservations, that's the word. Reservations. There are many reservations. All filled. All filled, mind you, made way beforehand. Every reservation's been filled way beforehand, every name put in it, in its proper place. If it were not so, I would have told you, he said. I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I've already told you how Christ did that. He does that by going into the Holy of Holies itself and offer up his precious blood and impute his righteousness to his people, and thereby secure their place in heaven in glory with him. With him. He is heaven, isn't he? Somebody said that recently, didn't they? If I go and prepare a place for you, verse 3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Let not your heart be troubled, believer. You're going to deny him. Before the sun comes up, you're going to deny him once, twice, yea, thrice. But he won't deny you. Trust him. Believe him. Look to him. Let not your heart be troubled. All right, let's stand and I'll dismiss us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for John 13 and 14. We thank you for this word which you spoke. You became flesh, dwelled among us, and spoke to us. God has spoken unto us by his Son. We've heard you. We've heard your marvelous voice, and it's spoken peace to our hearts. Peace which no man can take away from us. And Lord, we thank you that you have done it all. Jesus Christ paid it all the debt I owe. And that in spite of our unfaithfulness and our sinfulness, we are accepted in him, in you. Thank you, Lord, for doing this mighty work. However, O Lord, keep us by your power. Keep us from denying thee. Give us faith. Give us courage. Give us strength in the face of persecution, we pray, for your honor, for your glory, for our good. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.